السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you, شيخ؟
طيب الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. استعد بهذا اللسن إن شاء الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear respected students, may Allah bless you all for your attendance. Today we are covering the days of ignorance by Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله عليه. Just a quick reminder, please take notes, listen attentively, and send your questions over to me or Taliba, who is the co-host, throughout the course of the lesson. Jazakallah khairun. Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, فضائل الإسلام, Virtues of Islam, by Sheikh Muhammad Abd al-Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى. باب ما جاء أن البدعة أشد من الكبائر. باب ما جاء أن البدعة أشد من الكبائر. What is said about that bid'ah, innovation in the deen, is one of the greatest major sins, or greater than the major sins after shirk, the bid'ah. And the bid'ah is more beloved to Iblis than any other sin. So Iblis loves you to do bid'ah, and to practice and to innovate in the deen, more than he loves that you commit any other major sin, khamr, zina, etc. Because he knows any other sin, a Muslim believes that it is haram. So any Muslim who commits a major sin, whether alcohol, women, anything, he knows that this is haram, and one day, by Allah's grace, he will quit and repent and turn to Allah, because he knows that this is not correct. But the bid'ah, the one who practices the bid'ah, he believes that it is part of the deen, and he is getting closer to Allah, so he will not leave it, and he will die while practicing the bid'ah. So that's why Iblis loves it more than any other major sin. So be careful. And unfortunately, many Muslims, they fall into this trap of the shaitan. You know, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, Iblis, he set seven traps, or holes, or barriers, obstacles in the way of the son of Adam in his journey to the Akhirah. So there are seven traps, holes, pits ahead of you. The first trap is the shirk. Shirk. So if the shaitan manages to make you fall into that trap, then he will be happy because he knows for sure now you will not smell the fragrance of the Jannah. But if you know Tawheed, then you can avoid this trap and escape. Shaitan is after you. He sets another trap, which is the bid'ah. Bid'ah. If you know the sunnah, then you can avoid falling into the second trap, because you know the sunnah. And then you know this is bid'ah. Shaitan sets a third one, kaba'ir, major sins. And the kaba'ir, major sins, the ulama, they said they are not actually limited by a specific number. Yes, some of the ulama try to enumerate them according to his criterion that he set, like Imam Dahabi and others, Ibn Hajar al-Haytami, etc. But the real criterion to know the kabira that the ulama, they said there are indicators or there are science or some characteristics. Any sin that involves its any sin that its perpetrator, the one who commits it, will have specific known punishment, which we call the hudud, prescribed punishment, then this is kabira, like stealing, theft, the hand to be cut off. So we know theft now is kabira, because there is had. Drinking alcohol, kabira, because there is lashing. Accusing someone regarding his honor or her honor is kabira, because he has to be lashed. Or she. So this is one indicator. If there is a prescribed punishment, there is had, then we know this sin is a major sin. If there is cursing, Allah curses the perpetrator of such particular sin. Whoever does this, Allah's curse upon him. So this means that sin is kabira, major, because Allah curses its perpetrator. Like women who pluck their eyebrows, or make tattoos, or file their teeth, or wear wigs, artificial hair. So this, the Prophet said in the hadith, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْوَاشِمَ وَالْمُسْتَوْشِمَ وَالنَّامِصَ وَالْمُسْتَلْمِصَ وَالْوَاصِلَ وَالْمُسْتَوْصِلَ وَالْمُتَفَلِّجَاتِ لِلْحُسْنِ الْمُغَيِّرَاتِ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. So this means that all these things mentioned in this hadith, they are kaba'ir. So those women who are plucking their eyebrows, they are committing major sins. Okay? Women who are not wearing hijab, They are committing major sins. So the third indicator, if the text says, the hadith or the says or the ayah, whoever does this will not enter the Jannah. So that means that this sin is a major sin. Like women who are not wearing hijab, who are not dressed decently. Like in the hadith, as you know, صنفان من أهل النار لم أرهما رجال محمصيات كأذناب البقر يضربون بها الناس ونساء كاسيات عاريات مائلات مميلات رؤوسهن كأسنمة البخت المائلة لا يدخلن الجنة وإن ريحها لتشم من مسيرة كذا وكذا. So here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, there are two types of people I haven't seen that will come after me. Men, they carry webs in their hands, like the tails of the cows, they beat the people. And women who are dressed yet naked, their hairstyle like the humps of the camels. When they walk seductively, swaying their bodies to seduce men. They will not enter the Jannah and smell its fragrance, though its fragrance could be smelled from a long distance. So now a woman who is not wearing hijab, or she is not dressed Islamically and she is just wearing mini skirts and or stretches or blouses, and her body is shown, then, or you can see the figure of her body. That was the hadith mentioned. Or if there is a negation, another indicator, I hope that you are taking notes. These things I mentioned many times. If there is a negation that whoever does this sin is not a mu'min, negation of iman, then that sin is kabira, major sin. Like, for example, the Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min, Wallahi la yu'min. Man lam ya'man jaruhu wa wa'iqahu. He's not a mu'min, he's not a mu'min, he's not a mu'min. The one whose neighbor is not safe from his evil deeds. From his harms which he causes to his neighbor. So disturbing your neighbor is a major sin. Or there is another indicator. If the text says, whoever does this, he is not from us. Like in the hadith, من غشنا فليس منا. He who cheats us is not from us. So this means cheating is a major sin. So keep these things in mind, then you will know that this sin is major or minor. That's one thing. The second thing, that should not trivialize your sins, even if they are minor. Because the ulama, they said, لا كبيرة مع الصغفار ولا صغيرة مع الإصرار. No major sin can be considered major if one keeps repenting. And no sin will be considered minor sin if someone insists and continues doing it. So never treat your sins lightly, because minor sins, they can become major sins. The minor sins are expiated by the five prayers, by istighfar, by good deeds. Whereas the expiation for the major sins is the sincere tawbah. You have to repent. So all the ahadith you read from Friday to Friday is an expiation of the sins of the week. That's about minor sins. That the wudu, all your sins will be washed away when you are doing wudu, minor sins, not the major ones. Major sins, you have to make tawbah. So the shaitan, he sets seven traps. The first one, shirk, you know, tawheed, you escape. Second, bid'ah, you know, the sunnah, you avoided falling into the second one. The third one, kaba'ir, major sins. So you know the kaba'ir, so you avoid the kaba'ir. So fourth trap, minor sins. The minor sins. And if you are vigilant and keep, and you check yourself regularly, and you manage to avoid even the sagair, the minor sins, the fifth trap is the mubah, halal. Shaitan will try to catch you in this trap of the halal. What does this mean? He will try to make you start business, for example. Halal. Because Shaitan is a planner, he knows, and he plans well. So he will come to you and say, well, how about start your own business? So you started the business. So this is the fifth trap. Before starting your business, before the adhan, you already took wudu, and you will be the first one to enter the masjid. Now, after you started your business, you are busy in your meeting, or you hear the adhan, oh, it is dhuhr. Let us wind up, let us finish the meeting. The first day, and then you go to wudu, and you go to the masjid. Second day, one rak'ah you missed. Third day, two rak'ahs. Third day, you miss the jama'ah. Fourth day, you say, okay, guys, we'll pray in the office. Okay, let us finish the meeting, then we'll pray. So the shaitan is taking you backward. But if you are lucky and blessed by Allah, and you manage to escape the fifth trap, Shaitan sets the sixth one, and that is taqdeem al-mafdool ala al-fadl, to make you do deeds that they have less reward, and you miss the deeds that they have the greatest reward. Two deeds. One of them has more ajr, more reward, more hasanat, so he will make you miss that one and do something less than that. And this requires ilm to know which one has more reward. For example, study circle and janaza prayer. Which one to go? They are happening at the same time. Okay. Of course, the study circle has more reward. And this needs ilm, requires knowledge to differentiate between the two good, two types of good, and two types of evil. You have two evils, which one is less than the other? There are two types of good, khair and khair. Which one has more? And this is requires knowledge, which will enable you to differentiate. If you have the knowledge, then the seventh trap is waiting. And the seventh trap, because after it is the Jannah. Here, this trap, Ibn Qayyim call it the station. These are stations. Ibn Qayyim said this is Aqabat al-Muraghama. This is the direct confrontation with the shaitan. Shaitan, he spares no effort in fighting you. He uses all his forces, all his alliance, all these allied forces working for him. This is the last station. And here where you will be facing calamities, test after test after test. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, and Allah loves to see you reach this one, the station of wrestling with the shaitan. So the second trap is the bid'ah after the shirk. So the bid'ah, the salaf, they said, ahabbu ila iblis min al-ma'asiyah. From any other sin. It is more beloved, the bid'ah, to him because he knows that you will not quit this bid'ah innovation and you will die while practicing this bid'ah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 48, Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah does not forgive associating others with Him in worship, but forgives anything else of whoever He wills. So all the sins can be forgiven if you repent, including the shirk. Including the shirk. But if someone dies while committing shirk, then there is no forgiveness for him. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. So whoever associate with Allah, any other partner, any partner. Allah has prohibited for him or her the Jannah, paradise. Wa ma'wahu an-nar, his or her abode will be the hellfire. Wa ma lidh-dhalimina min ansar, and for the wrongdoers, there will not be anyone to help. So the bid'ah is more beloved to Iblis than any other sin. Also, Allah said in Surah An-Nahl, ayah 25, ليحملوا أوزارهم كاملة يوم القيامة. كاملة يوم القيامة ومن أوزار الذين يضلونهم بغير علم ألا ساء ما يزرعون. Let them bear their burdens in full on the day of judgment, as well as some of the burdens of those they missed lead without knowledge. Evil indeed is what they bear. So those innovators who are misleading others, they will carry their own sins and also the sins of those whom they misled, those who they made them go astray. So imagine that on the day of resurrection, you have your own sins and the sins of those who followed you. So Ahl Sunnah, when they criticize the legacies and the works of those who were innovators and invented many bid'ahs in the deen, and they warn the people, actually they are doing the deceased a favor, so the people will not follow him. Otherwise, if the people continue following him and what he wrote for them, he will be in bad shape on the day of resurrection, because he will carry their own sins as well. And of course, the followers also, they will have their own sins. Like, for example, you know, in the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, any soul dies, any human being dies, the first son of Adam will have portion of the sin of the killer who killed. Someone killed someone. The first son of Adam Cain will also has his own share, the Prophet ﷺ said, because أول من سن سنة القتل, he is the first one who taught people how to kill when he killed his own brother Abel. So imagine now that son of Adam, Qabil, Cain, on the day of resurrection, millions and millions and millions were killed. And he'll find these things in his records. SubhanAllah. See the contrast. This one who made this bid'ah, invented this bid'ah, and people are following him, and he is will carry their sins on his back. On the other hand, on the other side, those who taught the people the sunnah. So all those people who practice the sunnah, the good deeds they do, they will be also in the scale, added to the list of his good deeds. Imagine Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, all those ulama who wrote these books of the hadith, or the ulama who wrote the books of tafsir, they will come on the day of resurrection and they have this huge amount of hasanat, good deeds, because of those who followed them. Some will find a great number of good deeds, loads and loads of hasanat, the other will receive loads and loads of sins. La ilaha illallah. وفي الصحيح أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الخوارج، في الخوارج: أينما لقيتموهم فاقتلوهم. صحيح البخاري، صحيح مسلم as well، and سنن النسائي. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said regarding the Kharijites, he said: أينما لقيتموهم اقتلوهم. Wherever you find them, kill them. Who are the Kharijites or the Khawarij? They are the followers of the Al-Khawaisar al-Tamimi. The head of the Khawarij was Ibn Khuwaysarah al-Tamimi, who said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I'dil, divide the spoils and the of the war fairly." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and said, "Wayhak, woe to you! Who will be just if I'm not just? Who will be fairer than me? Who will be more just than myself?" Sayyidina Umar said, "Let me kill him." He said, "Leave him. This man, he will have followers." Those followers of this man, you, the Sahaba, when you see their deeds, you will consider your own deeds as nothing in comparison to their good deeds. In other words, يحقر أحدكم صلاته إلى صلاتهم وصيامه إلى صيامهم. They are all the time fasting and they are all the night praying, and all the time reading the Quran. That is, they were known for that. But the Prophet ﷺ said, يقرؤون القرآن لا يتجاوز حناجرهم. They read the Quran, but it doesn't leave their own throats and doesn't go up above their heads. Because they read the Quran and they don't understand its meaning. And they read it and they misinterpret it because they were ignorant. So Sayyidina, the Prophet ﷺ told Sayyidina Umar, the men of this guy, those who will have this belief and this غلو, when you compare yourself to them, you'll try, you'll find out, and you will start, you will feel that your deeds are nothing in comparison to their own deeds. لَإِنْ أَدْرَكْتَهُمْ لَقْتَلَنَّهُمْ قَتْلَ عَاد. If I live and until I come across them, I will wipe them, I will kill them. So that was the beginning of this deviant sect. And of course, the number multiplied. And then, you know, the battle that took place, the fitna that happened between the Sahaba and between Sayyidina Ali and Muawiyah. many of those Kharijites, they were with Sayyidina Ali fighting Sayyidina Muawiyah. And when they stopped the fight and agreed to appoint two arbiters and two judges, the Kharijites said to Sayyidina Ali, "You are kafirs, disbeliever. You have accepted the men to judge." And Allah says in al-Hukum illa lillah, the judgments and the ruling belongs only to Allah. Sayyidina Ali, he just ignored them. Sayyidina Ali, this narration says, he puts to the Quran, say, "Oh Quran, settle our dispute." Who will settle the dispute? The Quran itself, or the men who will understand what is in the Quran? So he left them. And he didn't do anything. And they gathered in a place in Iraq known as Harura, and there were 12,000. 12,000. And Sayyidina Ali, he left them. He didn't do anything to them. And he sent his own cousin, Abdullah ibn Abbas, to debate with them. Debate with them. He said, "Go to them. They are ignorant." So when ibn Abbas reached them, when they saw him heading towards them, the elders, they say, "Hey," the elders, they say to the young ones, to the youth, "This is Ibn Abbas, the interpreter of the Quran. Do not argue with him." So the elders, they know Ibn Abbas, and they know he's a man of learning. The young ones said, "No, who is Ibn Abbas?" Flexing their muscles. Always the young ones are the troublemakers, the youth, because they lack the wisdom and the vision. So Ibn Abbas started asking them, "Why are you against Ali?" So they said, "You know, he accepted the judgment of men." He said, "Okay, what is more important, saving the bloodshed of Muslims or a woman to go back to her husband? Which one more important?" I said, "Of course, saving the bloodshed of Muslims." He said, "Allah made men to judge in something which is less than this. That if a woman became rebellious and doesn't want her husband, we have to send two arbitrators, two men, one from her family, one from the husband's family, to try to bring the husband and wife together, form reconciliation and normalize the relationship. Which one more important? A deer killed in Mecca, the blood of the deer, or the blood of the Muslims?" Said, "Of course, the blood of the Muslims." So Allah said, if someone, while he's in the state of ihram, he hunts a deer in Mecca, another man, hakam, judge, should rule and give the verdict regarding this. And the debate went on. Then they asked him why he didn't take the women of those whom he fought as captives, concubines. He said, "Who wants Aisha to be his share? Who wants Aisha, radiallahu anha, his mother, the mother of the believers, to be his captive? Prisoner of war." ملك يمين. Who wants that? So they realized that they were mistaken. The narration says, out of the 12,000, 8,000 repented and went back with Ibn Abbas. So the Kharijites, then they started spreading corruption, killing Muslims, etc. And the Muslims, they fought them, and finally they vanished. They vanished because they started fragmenting among themselves, divided into groups and groups. And then they were also influenced by the Mu'tazila, and they adopted some of the beliefs of the Mu'tazila. For example, that to the Kharijites, if you commit a major sin, then you are a kafir. You are a kafir. وفيه أنه نهى عن قتال أمراء الجور ما صلوا. Also, the Sheikh is saying that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith that we should not rebel or revolt and rebel against the rulers, even if they are unjust rulers, as long as they pray, as long as they are Muslims, as long as they are Muslims, and they didn't manifest and they didn't show the kufr, that they are disbelievers, we should not fight them, and we should not rebel against them, and we should not revolt against them. This is the instructions by Allah through His Prophet. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. And Allah knows there will be rulers who are unjust and unfair. He knows that, Allah. Yet He commanded us through His Prophet that we should just be patient and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala improves the situation. Because we have to maintain the unity of the Muslim Ummah, and we should not cause division among the Muslims. Should not cause division among the Muslims, because the moment we are fragmented, divided, then we become weak, then it is easy for our enemies to devour all of us, to wipe all of us. And you know, this is what is happening. Because Muslims are divided, so they are weak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 103, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and hold firmly together with the robe of Allah and do not be divided. Remember Allah's favor upon you when you were enemies. Then He united your hearts. So you, by His grace, became brothers. And you were at the brink of a fiery pit, and He saved you from it. This is how Allah makes His revelations clear to you, so that you may be rightly guided. So If you read the books of the Tafsir, they will tell you this is came down regarding the Ansar, Aus and Khazraj. Allah reminds them that you were on the verge and the brink of a fiery pit, but Allah through Islam made you brothers. Also, Allah says in Surah Al-Anfal, Ayah 46, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. لا إله إلا الله. Obey Allah and His Messenger and do not dispute with one another, or you would be discouraged and weakened. Your strength will desert you. Persevere. Remain patient. Inna Allah ma'a as-sabireen. Surely Allah is with those who persevere, those who are patient. Are we patient? No. This is what we lack. Our ummah lacks the sabr. We lack the sabr. The Prophet ﷺ, 13 years in Mecca, teaching Sahaba sabr, sabr, sabr. Hold back your hands. Kuffu aydiyakum. He sees his own Sahaba before his eyes, persecuted, tortured, killed. He didn't do anything. And he couldn't do anything for them. He would pass by Sumayya. Yasir. And he will tell them only one thing. Sabran ala Yasir. فَإِنَّ مَوْعِدْكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. O family of Yasir, be patient. We will meet in the Jannah. Sabiru, where's the sabr? Allah asks two things from the Muslims. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. Two things Allah wants from us, Muslims. Sabr and taqwa. Where are they? Where these two? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا. They are plotting, conspiring, planning. What the think tanks are doing will not harm you the least. And not cause the least harm to you. Because I am with you. But fulfill these two conditions. Sabr and taqwa. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sabiru wa sabiru. Where is the sabr? And the musabara. Oh, you who believe, asbiru. Be patient. Wasabiru. And defeat your enemy. With respect to patience. You should be more patient than your enemies. Where are we? Where's the sabr? La ilaha illallah. An Ubad ibn Samit radiallahu anhu qal, we don't think ahead. We don't think of the consequences. We are hasty. We want to pick the fruit before it is ripe, before it ripens. Wait until it is ripened, ripe, then you can pick it. You want to pluck the fruit before it is ripe. The Prophet said, this deen will spread and reach all corners of the planet. ولكنكم قوم تستعجلون. قوم تستعجلون. You are hasty people. Hasty. And guess what? Our enemies, they know us in and out. And they know that we are hasty. And they know that we lack patience. They know that. عن عبادة بن الصامت قال This is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. And this is what Allah is commanding his Prophet. Allah, who is watching his kingdom, through his Prophet is telling us. عن عبادة بن الصامت قال بايعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على السمع والطاعة في العسر واليسر والمنشط والمكره وعلى أثرة علينا وعلى ألا ننازع الأمر أهله وعلى أن نقول بالحق أينما كنا لا نخاف في الله لومة لائم وفي رواية وعلى ألا ننازع الأمر أهله إلا أن تروا كفرا بواحا عندكم من الله فيه برهان متفق عليه. The meaning. عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه said, We swore allegiance to Allah's messenger. We gave the bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ, agreeing to hear and obey those who are in authority in time of difficulty and time of ease, al-manshat wal-makra, whatever is we are commanded, we accept it, whether it is time of difficulty or ease. In what we liked and what we disliked. You don't like it. You dislike it. But it's not haram. But it's against your nafs. To give way to others' interest. Not to dispute about government with those in power. You don't want to compete with them. I want to be in your position. See, ruling and to be in such positions is fitna. Fitna. And no one, once he reaches there, he wants to leave. So don't come close. To that area. Not to dispute about government with those in power and to say what was right wherever we were. We have to tell the truth. We enjoin the right, what is right, and forbid what is evil. Not fearing for Allah's sake what anyone who blamed us might say. The truth should be said. In another version or narration, it's the hadith says, not to dispute about government, that means the rulers and those in authority, with those in power, unless you see evident infidelity, evident apostasy, evident kufr, that they became disbelievers, they became apostates, they became kafirs. Explicitly, regarding which you have a proof from Allah that this is now a disbeliever. Then in that case, the bay'ah will be invalid or the allegiance will be invalid. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Another hadith in Bukhari. حدثنا إسماعيل حدثني ابن وهب عن عمرو عن بكير عن بسر بن سعيد عن جنادة بن أبي أمية قال دخلنا على عبادة بن الصامت رضي الله عنه وهو مريض قلنا أصلحك الله حدث بحديث ينفعك الله به سمعته من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال دعانا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فبايعناه فقال فيما أخذ علينا أن بايعنا على السمع والطاعة في منشطنا ومكرهنا وعسرنا ويسرنا وأثرة علينا وألا ننازع الأمر أهله إلا أن تروا كفرا بواحا عندكم من الله فيه برهان رواه البخاري narrated جنادة بن أبي أمية he said We entered upon Ubadah ibn Samit while he was sick. We said, may Allah make you healthy. Will you tell us a hadith you heard it from the Prophet ﷺ and by which Allah will make you benefit? He said, the Prophet ﷺ called us and we gave him the pledge of allegiance. For Islam. And among the conditions in which he took the allegiance from us, the conditions of the bay'ah, was that we were to listen and obey the orders, both at the time when we were active and at the time when we were tired. We hear and we obey. And at our difficult time and at our ease, and to be obedient to the ruler and give him his right, even if he did not give us our right. We give him his right. He deprives us of our rights. We will get our rights on the day of resurrection. And not to fight against him unless we noticed him having open kufr, disbelief, for which we would have a proof with us from Allah Azza wa Jalla. See, the hadith are so clear, self-explanatory. An Abi al-Walid. عباد بن الصامت رضي الله عنه قال بايعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على السمع والطاعة في العسر واليسر والمنشط والمكره وعلى أثرة علينا وعلى ألا ننازع الأمر أهله إلا أن تروا كفرا بواحا عندكم من الله تعالى فيه برهان وعلى أن نقول بالحق أينما كنا لا نخاف في الله لومة لائم. This is another hadith. We swore allegiance to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to hear and obey in time of difficulty and in prosperity, hardship and in ease, to endure being discriminated against and not to dispute about rule with those in power. You have been deprived of your own rights. Yet, Spiru. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said to the Ansar. Oh, Ansar, be patient until you meet me at the fountain, because you are going to be mistreated and people will not give you your rights. So just remain patient and meet me at the fountain there. And not to dispute about rule with those in power, except in case of evident infidelity, kufr, disbelief, regarding which there is proof from Allah. We swore allegiance to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say what was right wherever we were, and not to fear from anyone's approach, reproach, anyone's claim. وعن جرير بن عبد الله أن رجلا تصدق بصدقة ثم تتابع الناس فقال. This hadith will take time to elaborate upon it, but now these are the hadith related to the innovations. So we will stop at this point. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who listen and follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded and what His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who hear and obey, those who follow the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deen until we meet Allah and find Him pleased with all of us. Amen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds. May Allah unite our ummah in the haqq, unite our hearts in the haqq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khayra. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير شيخ. With your permission, if we can take some questions. I've already sent the first question.
Question says, Alaikum Salaam Rahmatullahi Barakatuh. What is the Sunnah time to say the morning and evening adhkar? Is it during the time just after Fajr and Asr Salah? The adhkar of the morning, they start from the Fajr. Okay. So this is until before the noon. This is time of the adhkar. The adhkar of the evening, asr, until maghrib, inshallah. Question says that I read this statement which says regarding the magic or sihr. فقد أجمع أهل العلم على أن له تأثيرا في نفسه وحقيقة ثابتة ولم يخالف في ذلك إلا المعتزلة وأبو حنيفة كما تقدم. Regarding Abu Hanifa, I'm not sure. Mu'tazila, that is known. And the meaning that the meaning of this, that the scholars, Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they believe that the spell or the sorcery or magic, it has an effect and it can cause harm to the individual. And this is a reality. It's happened to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know that Labid ibn al-A'sam, he cast a spell on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that time of sihr is called al-Rabt. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he could not sleep with his own wives. So the sihr is a fact, and Ahl al-Sunnah, they do not deny that. And there's a beautiful book by Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi al-Wadi'i, rahimahullah. He all full of the narrations about this particular matter. And the Quran made it clear. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ. They learn from the two angels, Harut and Marut, that by which they cause division between a husband and wife. Question says, Walaikum Salaam Rahmatullah, if one didn't know that a particular deed was bid'ah and spread it, what's the ruling on him? The ruling in him to repent, make tawbah. And second thing is to tell the people, I was misleading you. I was telling you these things. And whatever I told you is not true. So I am washing my hands of what I used to say. And I repent and turn to Allah. So do not follow what I told you. This is what he has to do. He has to tell the people whom he misled that I was mistaken and what I told you is not true. Next. Walaikum Salaam Rahmatullah. When someone commits the kaba'ir, major sins, which one is more acceptable? Tawbah, a long time seeking forgiveness, or hudud, which the sinner can be killed? The hudud, not all the kaba'ir, they have hudud. Only some, they have hudud, like the theft, like zina, like murder. This, they have hudud, known hudud. The rest, they don't. Okay? So if someone committed, for example, a sin that involves hadd, what is better for him? To go and expose himself, disclose his sin, or to keep it between him and Allah to repent? The answer, to keep it between him and Allah, and to repent and not to come, because once he comes, he will be killed, he will be executed. Because when Ma'az came, Ma'az, who committed zina, and he was married, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, I committed zina, so purify me. The Prophet ﷺ, he turned his face like that. He didn't want to hear him, as if he's telling him, go, go, go. He came from the other side, said, Prophet, purify me. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked the men around him, Is this man sane? Does he know what he's doing? Does he know that this necessitates, by this he will lose his life? So he asked the people around him, is he okay or he is insane? They said, no, he's fine. He's sane. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked him a question. Because he told him, maybe you only kissed her, maybe you hugged her. He said, no, 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 no. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and he used the four-letter word. The four-letter word, you know it. You make sure. He said, yes, I did it. So the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, take him and stone him. And stone him. When the person is stoned, they dig a hole in the ground and they put him inside. And then they start stoning him. So when they started stoning him, he ran. They followed him until he died. Okay. So if someone receives the had, that will be an expiation for that sin. For that sin. Though it is better that you hide it and you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing when the Ghamidiyya, the woman who committed zina, and she came and she was pregnant. And the Prophet told her, go till you deliver. And then she came. Then he told her, go until you breastfeed the child. And then she came with her child after weaning the child, and the child was having a piece of bread in his hand to tell the Prophet that he is not in need of me. Okay, there's another question. Says in ayah, is ayah 102 of Surah Al-Baqarah a protection for the marriage of the one who recites it? The ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah about the sihr, Allah said that وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So it can cause harm to someone by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, which proves that, yes, it can cause harm, and this can cause division between husband and wife. But one, if he always keeps maintaining the adhkar and the tahara and this, inshallah, he will be protected, but Allah tested his own prophet to teach us that this happened to my prophet, it can happen to any one of you. I hope this is clear to the questioner. Next question, please. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The question says, as we always appreciate the mudarris, teachers, who teach the Holy Quran to our children, but if the teaching is performed well and you complain, but no changes, and this time I want you to take the baby another madrasa. So the question says, if the teaching is not performed well, not is not there, okay. No. Okay, then I want to take my child to another madrasa. But I know the teacher will not be happy. So can you please advise how to handle, even to cheat, to cool down? No need to cheat, no need to lie. You have to call a spade a spade. Okay, you say, I asked for improvement and you are not ready to improve. So I have to look for another place which I feel better. That's it. Next.
Barakallahu feekum. This is the last question.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. So, jazakallah khair for everyone's attendance. I'll hand it to the Sheikh to conclude the lesson. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you, bless your family, protect you, protect your family. And may Allah elevate your status in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Bihifdhillah wa ra'ayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.